Our scripture today comes from Mark 11, 1 through 11. Jesus' triumphant entry. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he told them. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'What are you doing?' just say, 'The Lord needs it and will return it soon.'" The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches that had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes into the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Praise God in highest heaven." So Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. After he looked around carefully at everything, he left because it was late in the afternoon. Then he returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's turn in our black books again to a chorus, "Make Me a Servant." The choir is going to sing this through once for us in case this is not a familiar one to you, and then we will sing it through together, all together, the second time. "Make Me a Servant," number 2176. That's a wonderful chorus, and that should be our prayer to make us a servant. As we go our time of meditation, let us pray together. Lord, may the prayer of our hearts be, "Make us servants for you." And Lord, I pray in this moment that we may hear and see you and not hear and see me. In Jesus' name, amen. A man once bought a donkey from a preacher who told him that the donkey had been trained in a very unique way. But in order to make the donkey go, you had to say hallelujah. And in order to make the donkey stop, you had to say amen. Well, the guy got on the donkey to try it out, and he said hallelujah, and the donkey started up.
And then he said, amen, and the donkey stopped. And he said, this is great. And he gave the guy his money, and off he went, happy with his purchase. Well, he didn't really need the donkey for about 4 months, and then he needed to go on a long trip and through some mountains. And so he got the donkey ready, and he got on it, and he said, hallelujah, and the donkey started up, and they went on their merry way. But after a few hours, he realized that the donkey was headed straight for a cliff. And then he also realized that he had forgotten the word to make the donkey stop. So he yelled out, stop! Donkey just kept going. He yelled, halt! Donkey just kept on going. Then he began to just shout any word that he could think of. God, Bible, Christians. And it seemed like the donkey even went faster. And finally, as it's getting closer and closer to the cliff, he just finally just cried out in prayer, please, Lord, please make this donkey stop before we get to the cliff. Amen. Donkey stopped. Just right at the edge of the cliff. The guy breathed a sigh of relief and said, hallelujah. Now that I've got you thinking about donkeys and mules, there are some facts that you may not know about them. Now, donkeys and mules are two different animals, but most people can't tell them apart. I mean, they do have some similarities between them. I didn't realize that a mule, particularly, can weigh up to 1,300 pounds. Both of them, both donkeys and mules, don't like to be kept alone. So if you purchase one, you better have at least another one, or sheep, or goats, or something to keep it company. But don't get a dog, because they don't get along with dogs. And they don't like rain. Well, I don't either. As we know, donkeys and mules can carry heavy loads, and they don't mind doing it. They are more intelligent than horses, and they are much more sure-footed, and they have a strong sense of self-preservation. Now, this trait gives them the undeserved reputation of being stubborn. We even say, you know, so-and-so is stubborn, and he says, stubborn as a mule. But rather, they are cautious. They are happy to do anything you ask them to do unless they decide it's dangerous. And so they will not place themselves or the person riding on their back in any kind of danger if they sense it. And if they feel like they have done, you know, they've gone their distance and they've carried this load long enough, they will just simply stop to rest. Until they're rested, then they'll go again, and no amount of human compulsion is going to get them to move until they've decided. And so if you're also riding one, and all of a sudden it stops for no apparent reason, most likely the mule or donkey has detected a danger that you're not even aware of. Now, donkeys and mules hold a very special place in Scripture, and they show up over 150 times. One person in particular needed the help of his donkey. You may know the story of Balaam in the Old Testament book of Numbers. When it was time for the children of Israel to cross from the wilderness into Moab, the Balak, who was the king of Moab, didn't really want them to do that. So he offered a reward to Balaam, a very handsome reward, if he would curse them. But on his way to do that, Balaam's donkey refused to cooperate. As they went along, and he's riding on this donkey, the donkey sees an angel with a sword blocking the road, and so he turns off into a field. Well, Balaam doesn't know what's going on, and he's beating the donkey to get it back on the road again. And then a little farther down the road, the donkey sees the angel standing between two vineyards, and there's a stone wall, and when he sees the angel, he moves against one of the walls and crushes Balaam's foot. Well, yes, you can imagine this makes Balaam mad, and he's beating the donkey some more to get him back going straight on the road. And then finally the angel appears that the donkey can see him right in front of them in a very narrow passage that they couldn't go around one way or the other, so the donkey just stops and lays down. Well, by this point, Balaam has lost it. He gets up and he starts beating that donkey to try to get it up and moving. Well, at that point, amazingly enough, the donkey actually speaks to Balaam. And he reminds Balaam that he's always been a very faithful donkey, and he asks Balaam if he has ever stopped before for no reason. And Balaam has to admit, no. Now, you guys think of this as a pretty funny situation here. Here's a donkey talking to the owner, and the owner talking back to the donkey. But we know that God was involved in this, because Balaam's eyes are opened at that point, and he then can see the angel. And God scolds him, not only for his cruelty, but for his foolishness. The donkey actually was keeping Balaam from doing something wrong. And perhaps we could avoid some of the same mistakes as Balaam, and we can learn some lessons from donkeys and mules about what God has to teach us. It all hinges on that fateful day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey instead of a horse. Now, in our Lenten Bible study 2 weeks ago, we talked about the reason that Jesus chose a donkey. He chose it first because it was an expression of humility. And it also fulfilled the scripture in Zechariah that says, "Rejoice, people of Zion. Shout for joy, you people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He comes triumphant and victorious, but humble and riding on a donkey." The reason that Jesus chose a donkey is because of the things that donkeys and mules represent. Now, in biblical times, a donkey or a mule wasn't the lowly beast that we kind of think of it today, but rather it was a noble one. When a king went to war, he rode on a horse, but when he came in peace, he rode on a donkey. And Jesus was a king coming in peace and for peace. But as I said, donkeys are by nature animals that want to avoid danger. A donkey would rather stop than put their owner in harm's way, just like we heard of Balaam's donkey doing. And like Balaam's donkey, Jesus protected us with his own life. Now, donkeys don't frighten easily. I think if Dan and Sherry could tell you that a horse can get frightened quickly, and when there's something, a loud noise or something, they'll just take off and run, I think, what happens. But a donkey might go a couple of feet, but then it'll turn around and see, well, what was all this commotion and what's going on, and then get right back to work. Jesus finished the work that he came to do, and he didn't run away when he was faced with the cross. In biblical times, horses were very expensive. Important officials and army officers and the king, they all had horses, but not most of the people. However, almost everyone could afford a donkey. The poor farmer, the traveling merchants, everybody had a donkey. It's every man's beast of burden. So that by riding on a donkey, Jesus was identifying with all of us, and he was reaching out to everyone. Through Jesus' choice of using a donkey, we learn something about his character. And we also learn something about what we are called to do. Like the donkey and like the example of Jesus, we are called to deal with everyone peacefully. We are called to love our neighbors. We're even called to love our enemies. And Luke writes that even sinners love the people who already love them. But it takes someone special to love your enemies, to do good to those who hate you, and to bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. But that's exactly what Jesus challenges us to do in our everyday lives. For today, tomorrow, for the rest of this Lenten season, can we make a decision to treat everyone with this kind of love? In the face of adversity, we are called to remain on the path of righteousness and never cease to do what's right. But as we know, when we do what's right, there are no doubt obstacles that come in our way. So do we have the courage to do what we think is right, even when others disagree?
we may be seen as stubborn as a mule, but perhaps it's because we see the angel with the big flaming sword that no one else can see. We're called to stand up for what's right. We're also called to work together. Another trait of mules and donkeys is their ability to learn to work together as a team. When you hitch mules together in tandem or team them together to pull a heavy load, they quickly learn each other's strengths and weaknesses, and then they will complement each other as they do the job. In Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks about the body of Christ. That's the church. That's us. And he talks about each of the parts of the body and how each one is important and we cannot do without all of them. And in Ecclesiastes we read, two are better than one, and a cord of three strands is not easily broken. We need one another to do the work and the ministry that God has called us to do. And finally, we're called to be welcoming. There's a large middle-class church in Portland, Oregon, and right across the street from the church is a college campus. And the church was wanting to do a ministry to the college campus and the college students, but they just didn't know how to go about it. One Sunday morning, one of the students from the campus walked across. His name was Bill, and he arrived after the worship service had started, and he began to walk down the center aisle just looking for a place to sit. Oh, his hair was long and kind of messed up. He had on ripped-up jeans and a T-shirt with words and a picture on it. And as he continued to walk down the aisle, the congregation became very silent, and they watched him, and they became uncomfortable. Well, Bill continued to walk down the aisle, and by the time he got to about the second row, he realized that the church was full that day. There was really no place to sit, so he just squatted and sat down right there in the front. Well, you could almost hear a gasp, but certainly the air was so thick with tension that you could cut it. Nobody said anything, and then from the back of the sanctuary, the old saint of the church got up and slowly began walking down the aisle, and everybody thought, okay, he's going to handle this, you know. He's going to let this guy know, you know, I'm putting in his place. And so it was silent, and the man painfully and slowly came up, and when he got to Bill, he leaned over, and he sat down on the floor, and sat with Bill the whole service. That old man made Bill feel welcome. Jesus came for everyone. He rode on a donkey to show that he could put himself on our level. And if Jesus can do that, then certainly we can reach out and embrace everyone, even if they're different than us, even if we don't understand them, even if we can't relate to them. Jesus died for everyone, and his church should welcome everyone. We need to be open arms in a world that's filled with closed arms. This Lenten season, I hope that we can remember these lessons from a mule and work to be the people that God calls us to be in our world. So the next time someone calls you a stubborn mule, you can take it as a compliment, smile, and say, thanks. Let's pray. Lord, you have called us to follow your example, to be your people in the world, to be welcoming, to be peaceful. Help us to be that right here in this place, in this community. Help us to be all that you want us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For our closing hymn, let's turn in our hymnal to number 349, May the Mind of Christ My Savior. Thank you. going to ask for the Pastoral Search Committee if they would come and stand right here in the front. As I mentioned, we are they are going this week to Indianapolis for a day and a half. I'm going to ask you to kind of get in a good little group here and actually stand right in the middle, because I am going to invite the congregation to come and stand around. So if you guys stand in a circle that's facing outwards. This is easier when I taught preschool. All right, come on. Yeah, no, okay. They're going to come and surround you. So you guys need to be in a little circle. I should have instructed them beforehand. And you here, make room for Jerry. Okay. Would you all come forward and join those that are closest to them? Put your hands on them, and then we'll just keep putting our hands on people so that everybody is in some kind of line of touching. Make sure we've got somebody at least putting hands on it. Come on, there's room over here if you want to come around here. Some of you come around this way. That's right, come around. We want to support them as they go. All right. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for being faithful to us for 162 years and for leading us in the past and up to the very moment, this very moment. We have been walking a journey of transition and change for some time now. Help us to be faithful and to trust you that you will continue to lead us into the future. These members of the search committee have been chosen by this body to represent them in the process of seeking a new pastor. Thank you for each one of them, for their willingness to serve and the time they are giving. May your spirit strengthen them and keep them encouraged. Lord, we know that there is an individual that you have already chosen to be the next shepherd for our church. Give us patience to trust your timing and not to rush ahead. May we learn from the past that your way is always better than ours. We pray your guidance on them as they go to the face-to-face this week. First, protect them as they travel, and then give them wisdom and discernment as they meet potential pastoral candidates. May each conversation help them better focus on the kind of pastor that we need here. We ask that you give them clarity to evaluate and make wise decisions. We also lift up the individual who will one day become our next pastor. Use him or her where they are right now in ministry and prepare them for the new call that you have on their life. Take them where they are now and continue to prepare them for ministry here. May each one of us do our part by encouraging, supporting, and praying for this committee as well as for the search process, our future, and your timing. Now we lift up to you Dave, Debbie, Jennifer, Jerry, Larry, and Pam. May they feel your presence as they go on our behalf. We ask this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. All right, if Mary Lou can get to the organ, we will sing our hymn of departure. We'll sing and then I'll pray. Listen to these words from 1 Timothy. Strive for righteousness, godliness, love, endurance, and gentleness. Go and be mules.
Mary just leaned across to Jerry and then did one side.
Yeah.
Yeah.